Psalm 100, we're going to read all five verses here. So follow along as I read Psalm 100, verse number 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into the gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you now asking you to be with this Sunday school hour. I pray you would help me to teach your word to these that are here as well as those that are listening online. I pray that you would help us to learn something from this time, and Lord, that we can see the importance of singing. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I have the paper there in front of you. I have a few blanks along the way just to make sure that we're all awake and following along. So the title of the message tonight is Why Do We Sing in Church? So introduction number one there. Have you ever wondered why we do certain things in church? I know that when I was a young child, every time that I come to church, it was just something we always did. I remember my mom took me to church as soon as I was born. I grew up in that church, and I remember a lot of them saying that they changed my diapers, and I told them not to tell everybody too much about that. But I remember that I was there in church, and church was just the way that it was. The things that we did in church, it was just how it always was. I never really thought about the things until I got a little bit older going into Bible college. Then I started asking some of these questions that I should have been asking when I was younger. And so today, we're going to take a moment. We're going to be talking about why do we sing at church. So some of the questions that have come up in my life as well as others in churches, why do we do certain things? And I just wrote some questions here, just various questions. Why do we take up an offering? That first blank there on your paper. Why do we take up an offering? And of course, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to give the 10% or the first fruits of our labors and bring it to the storehouse, to the house of God. And so we are supposed to give a tithe. We're supposed to be given offering. And then there's other offerings on top of that, as well as missions offering, free will offerings, or certain things that we're raising money for in the church. There's different types of offerings. So why do we take them up? Well, the Bible tells us we're supposed to take it up. Why do we have Sunday school? Did you know the word Sunday school is not in the Bible? That's not an actual biblical term. But we do use Sunday school, like now we're using this as Sunday school. And the reason we use this is because the Bible tells us that we're supposed to teach all the nations out there in the Great Commission. So we're supposed to teach. And of course, when most people think of teaching, they think of school. And so we call this Sunday school because this is on Sunday. And we focus on the Word of God when we're teaching. We take specific instances from the Bible and we teach on those things on Sunday school. Why do we use only the King James Version? Well, Pastor talked about that not too long ago when he was going over the Baptist distinctives. The very first one was biblical authority, and he talked about why we use the King James only. The next one, why do we have deacons? That next blank there is deacons. Why do we have deacons? Now, understand, in our church, we have one deacon, and we know that the deacons in the Bible, the first time it was actually mentioned, is in the book of Acts, where we find out that it says that the widows were being neglected. And Peter said that, hey, all right, pick out seven among you that are filled with the Holy Ghost, and they will be the deacons. They'll be taking care of the things in the church that maybe the preachers, as they're preaching, they wouldn't have to take away from their preaching time or study time to be preaching the Word of God. So each of these questions we should be asking ourselves as we're in church. Why do we do this? Why do we do that? Not so that we can overthrow the church or overthrow the pastor, but the purpose is so that we know that we're doing something scriptural. That number two there, if you don't know why we do certain things, you should check it out with the scriptures. Make sure that the scriptures are telling us to do what we're doing. Number three, today we're going to be covering the question, why do we sing in church? Why do we sing in church? Number four, believe it or not, there is a battle in one of our states in the United States today that's saying you cannot sing in church. I think most of us know what that is, so I don't even have to say it. There is a state in the United States that is telling us we are not allowed to sing in church. First, they told them they couldn't preach because of the virus that's going on. Then they told them that they could not actually sing in church. So people are getting fined. I think Pastor was telling us about a pastor there that he's already got $50,000 in fines because he's having church and because he's singing in church. So a little note there under four. We can see how Satan, that's the next blank, we can see how Satan wants to stop Christians from doing what God wants us to do. We can see that Satan is in the battle and he is trying to stop us as Christians to do what God has asked us to do in his word. And so Satan has been doing this for a long time. He's found ways to trip up Christians, and he's used this opportunity with the virus to now have those in authority over states to say, you can't have church, you can't sing in church. And so Satan knows and wants to stop the Christians, and he knows ways of how he can do it, and he is doing it today. Sad. So what are we supposed to do if the government tells us we can't sing in church? So what if, let's say here in Great Falls, Montana, that that the mayor of our town or the governor of our state came out and says, you can't sing in churches. It's going to spread the virus too much. We need you to stop doing it. What should we do? Well, little note there. We must go to the Bible and follow what the Bible tells us to do. Like Pastor said when he was doing the Baptist Distinctives, biblical authority, it's our first authority. It's where we go to get our authority on what we do. So look in Acts chapter 5. Hold your place here in Psalms. We're going to come back to it. But Acts chapter number 5. Verse 29. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. It says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now we know the situation that was going on there. They were telling the apostles that they were to stop telling people about Jesus. You are not allowed to preach this Jesus to anybody. If you do, we are going to beat you. We're going to punish you for doing what you said there. And Peter spoke up, and multiple times in the book of Acts, you hear them say, well, we got to serve God more than man. We're not going to listen to what man has to say if it goes against what God has to say. So that's what we are supposed to do. You can, right there, the next blank is Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Matthew 10, 28. I'll read it as you're writing down there. Matthew 10, 28. As soon as I get there, I'll tell you. It says, and fear not, this is Jesus talking, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. So we don't need to fear what man can do to us bodily. We need to fear the person that can actually do something to our soul. That would be that's more important than the person that can hurt this body. Paul himself came out and said, hey, you know what? If you're going to kill this body, all that you're doing is promising me heaven. You kill me, I'm going to heaven. So you're just promising me heaven. So it was a mentality that we should have as well, that, hey, you know, even though persecution may come, I still understand that after I die here, if you're saved, you will be going to heaven, and therefore you're only promising me heaven if you kill me here on this earth. So here's a few reasons we sing in churches today. Number one, give God the praise he deserves. The reason that we sing in church is so that we can give God the praise that he deserves, that he rightly deserves. Letter A there, I'm giving you the definition of praise. It says praise means to extol in words or song, to magnify, to glorify on account of perfections or excellent works. That last blank there is works. Now you see in parentheses, I wrote Webster's 1828 dictionary there. And I use that dictionary because they're not changing it as new words come into our vocabulary or certain words, they want to change the definition to it. So I use that one because it stays the same, Webster's 1828, as well as it is the closest dictionary that we have to when the Bible was translated into English in 1611. So I use this one because of the fact that it gives even the little way that they describe it afterwards. They give you the definition, then they'll give you something to explain the word in like context of a sentence. In Webster's 1828, he uses verses from the Bible. So that really helps me out, because there's times that as I'm looking up the word to see what the word means, it's actually the verse that I'm going over. So it works really good in that sense. So I use Webster's 1828. So praise means to extol in words or song, to magnify, to glorify on account of perfections or excellent works. So praising, it says in the definition, it can be spoken or sung, which is why most people say that the angels sang when telling the shepherds about the birth of Jesus. Most of us know the story in the scripture, Luke chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. We don't have to turn there. But most of us know the story about how when Jesus was born, there was an angel that came to the shepherds and says, hey, the Messiah is born. He's in a stable. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes, to give them an idea of where he was at. And then after that, it says that a multitude of angels, a host of angels showed up, and they started saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. So in there, it says that they were praising him. Now, with this definition here that Webster gives us, it could be them just saying the words, or it could be singing. So like in our hymn book, during some of the Christmas songs that we sing, it talks about how the angels were singing to the shepherds at that time. Maybe they were. I don't know. I'm not going to argue with you if you say they were singing, and I'm not going to argue with you if you say they were just talking the words. We know that giving praise can be either way. And so if it's either way, you can believe what you want. And when we get to heaven, we'll ask the angels themselves, hey, were you singing or were you actually just talking? So we'll find out in heaven. We don't need to argue over that little detail. So letter B there. Taking the definition above, we are to magnify God because, number one, he is perfect. That's the next blank there. He is perfect. We are to magnify God because he's perfect. We are to extol him, to lift him up, to glorify him because he's perfect in every way. He makes the right decision. He is truth. He is the living truth. We'll find out even in the next service, we'll find out that he is the light. He is perfect. Number two, we are also to magnify him because the works that he has done. Think about in your life alone. Let's just think about your life. And let's see, what has he done in your life? Well, you should give him praise. You should magnify him. You should extol him. You should lift him up because of what he's done in your life. Let alone what we can read in the Bible, let alone what's going on in the world that he's done. He's done a lot of good works, and so we can praise him just for the works that he's done. Number three, we're to magnify God because he is God. We magnify him just because he is. In our passage here that we read, Psalm 100, verse number 5, it says, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. The Lord is good. So we can magnify him, we can lift him up, we can extol him, we can glorify him, we can praise him because he is good. He is so good. I remember a preacher that's still around, Brother Bishop, John Bishop. He got meningitis, and after he got meningitis, he had to relearn everything. And now he's an evangelist, and his ministry is called God is Good all the time. He said it was God is good, and then when he got a little bit older, a few more years older, he said, now I say God is good all the time. This is a guy that had to learn everything all over again. This is a guy that lost his memory completely, had to learn how to walk, had to learn how to talk, had to learn how to be social. I mean, he had to do everything all over again. And his ministry is God is good all the time. So we can magnify him because he is God. He is good. Number four, the prayers he's answered for his children, those who are saved. The next blank there is saved. We can praise him because of the answered prayers. Listen, the Bible says that you must be born again, and after you're born again, you become a child of God. And so because you're a child of God, he answers your prayer. Look in verse 3 of our passage, Psalm 100. Knowing ye that the Lord, he is God, it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So we can see that God is our God, that He is our Father, that we can say we are His children. And so we can see that He answers our prayers. We can give Him glory because He answers our prayers. He hears us. Letter C there. We sing for the Lord. So this is, we're giving praises to Him. We sing for the Lord. In verse number 1 of our passage, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Everybody, we are to sing to Him. Make that joyful noise. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Verse 2, "Come before His presence." It says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." Come before His presence. So when we come before His presence, we are singing. That's why we sing in church. We come into His presence and we sing. Number 3, verse 4 says, "In His courts of praise, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise." That's the definition we just had. "Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." These are all different types of reasons why we should give God the praise He deserves. Because we're coming into His presence and we're singing the things that are there so that we can give Him the praise that He deserves. The second thing that we see why we sing at church is to get our hearts ready for the service. Letter A there. Singing praises to God gets our perspective right. It makes us to focus where we need to focus. Number 1 there, if you've had a hard week or even a rough morning, singing can change your focus to God. That next blank is focus. So let's say that you had a rough week, whether it be at work, whether it be at home, whether it be anywhere, you just had a rough week. And you show up for church on Sunday and you get here and they start singing. Oh, and it's a song that you've heard. It's a song that you've sung before. It's a song that you've thought about. It's maybe even a song that you like. And you start singing with it, then that rough week kind of melts away. You start focusing more on the song. You start focusing more on what you're doing here. Or even a rough morning. I can tell you in my house, I have 4 little kids. And when I try to wake them up in the morning, it's tough. 2 of them are pretty good. They'll wake up and they'll do just fine. The other 2, I have to constantly be going back and forth. You know, I'd flip the lights on, say, get up. One would get up, the other would not. I'd flip on the other light in the other bedroom. One would get up, one would not. And then I'd have to be going back and forth. Get out of bed. Come on, we got to get up. We got to get ready for church and go to the next one. All right, get out of bed. Come on now, get out of bed. We need to go. And back and forth and back and forth. And then throughout the rest of the morning, as I'm trying to get myself ready, I'm yelling downstairs, "Hey, are you out of bed yet? Hey, are you dressed? Hey, have you got your hair done?" And I'm trying to get all completely done so that when they come up, then I can look at them and be like, "Okay, you need to change that shirt because that doesn't match. Or, hey, you need to do your hair better. Or, hey, you need to put those on right because they're backwards," or whatever it would be. It could be a rough morning at times in the house of the stories when you come before we come to church. Just trying to get everybody done, because there's been times that we've left and one of the kids says, "I didn't eat any breakfast." And it's like, I woke you up in enough time to get dressed and eat breakfast and do your hair and get everything ready. And, "Oh, I didn't eat any breakfast." "Oh, all right, well, quick, grab a piece of toast. Let's go. We got to get out. We got to go. We're going to be late." Sometimes we have a rough morning, and when we get here, singing helps get your focus back. You start to sing the songs and you start realizing, hey, I'm here for a reason. I've come to church so that I can learn more about God. And so I've got to get my focus back to where it needs to be. I need to let all of the week and the morning flood away. And I need to now focus on the Word of God. So we'll start with singing to get my mind wrapped around what I need to. Number 2, there are too many times we focus on the physical when we are supposed to be worshiping in the Spirit. Go with me to John chapter 4. The book of John, chapter number 4, verse 24. John chapter 4, verse 24. The Bible says, "God is a spirit," this is Jesus talking, "God is a spirit, And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This is where Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. And she's had a constant problem with the conversation that Jesus was having, in the sense that she was thinking physical and Jesus was trying to teach her spiritual truths. She comes up and he's sitting on the well and he says, "Would you give me to drink?" And she goes, "The well's deep. You have no bucket. How do you expect to get some water out of here?" And he said, "Well, if you knew who I was, you wouldn't, instead of getting me water, you would actually say to me, 'Give me everlasting water.'" And she says, "What is this everlasting water you're talking about?" And he says, "Oh, well, you'd never have to drink again." And she says, "Well, give me this water so I don't have to come back to this well, so I don't have to drop the bucket down to get more water out. Give me that stuff." And he goes, no, you don't get it. You don't get it. You're thinking physical, not spiritual. And that's what Jesus had to do with the Pharisees, the rulers of this world, the rulers of the synagogues and stuff like that. He constantly had to tell them, "Look, you're focusing on the physical, and I need you to focus on the spiritual." He went to Nicodemus, and when he said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again," in John chapter 3, that Nicodemus says, "You mean I have to go back into the womb the second time and be born again?" And Jesus is like, "No. How is this amazing to you? You're supposed to be a teacher of the Word of God. How do you not know this?" And he says, no. You have to be born of water. You have to be born, physically born, but then you have to be born of the Spirit. You have to be spiritually born, and that's talking about salvation. And so Jesus constantly had to get people from thinking from the physical realm to the spiritual realm, because that's where you're to serve God, is in the Spirit. But he says there, hey, you got to serve God in the Spirit, not the physical. The disciples had a problem with that too, so don't feel bad if you fall into the same trap at times where you go, "Oh, I'm not thinking spiritually today, I'm thinking more physical today." Jesus himself had to continually tell his disciples, no, stop thinking physical, let's think spiritual. So you fall in good company, I guess we could say. Letter B, singing is something everyone can do for the Lord. Singing is something everyone can do for the Lord. In verse 1, it tells us to make a joyful noise. If you see verse 1 in our passage, Psalm 100, verse 1, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Little note there, you don't have to know how to sing or even hit the right notes. This is something, I've had people come to me throughout my life and they've asked if they could do something for the Lord. They want to do something for the Lord, which is a very, very good thing. The Bible tells us that we need to be doing something for the Lord. And so we need to be working. And so people will come and they'll say, "I want to do something for the Lord, but I want it to be like something big. I want it to be extravagant. I want it to be noticeable." And it doesn't work that way. Even in life today, people don't give you a big responsibility if they haven't seen you doing something in the little responsibilities. You start with the small and you work your way to the big. So you do good here and God says, "All right, let me give you a little bit more responsibility." Okay, good. Now a little bit more because you were faithful there. Now a little more because you were faithful there, to the point where you could get to the point where you are doing something that is more noticeable, I guess you could say. But if you want to do something for the Lord and you are not doing anything for the Lord now, then start with this. Sing unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. You don't have to be the best singer. You don't have to hit every note. You don't even have to be on time. All that you need to do is make a joyful noise. I remember Brother Billy, when he was still here, Pastor and him were talking about singing, and Brother Billy said, "I can't sing. I can't carry a tune in a bucket." He says, I'm not good at this. And he says, "So sometimes I feel bad when I sing because I'm off note, I'm off timing. I think I mess people up." And Pastor says, "No." He said, "Think of it like this." He says, pick any of my kids." Pastor said this, "Pick any of my kids and say they got up there to sing a special. And let's say they sang as hard as they could with a joyful noise, but they didn't hit any note right. They weren't on time. The piano was trying to keep up with them and they kept missing the timing." He said, "I'd still be proud because they're my kids. That they got up and they did something for the Lord." He said, "I'd be proud of them." He said, "That's exactly the way God is with us. We're His children. And so when you make a joyful noise, it doesn't matter if you're on note, if you're too far ahead of the piano player, if you're singing so off key that it messes up the next two rows behind you, it doesn't matter. The point is that you're making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Listen, I've known a lot of pastors, and I'm not talking about our pastor, so don't get me wrong here. I've known a lot of pastors that couldn't sing. Actually, Pastor Crowder does pretty good. He makes fun of himself a lot. But he actually does really well in singing. But I've known some pastors that have stood next to me as I'm leading singing, and I'm getting thrown off by the pastor singing because I'm trying to hit the notes, and he's going ahead of me or behind me or something, and so I'd have to try to fix myself to where I could do it. So I know that even if you do it and you're off note or you're off key or you're not even, the timing's off, it doesn't matter. What the Lord is looking for is a joyful noise. Are you joyful when you sing? Number two there, you say, I can't do anything for the Lord. I don't have the talents of teaching or preaching or leading. Preaching is the blank there. But God says, sing, and you're doing something for Him. You're doing something for Him. I tell you what, if you sing while I'm leading singing, that helps me out. Because if I'm up here singing, leading singing, and I'm the only one singing, it's a special. And it is very special when I sing all by myself. So I appreciate it when somebody sings out, but I know God does. If you're making that joyful noise to the Lord, God is looking down and He's just saying, oh man, this is, listen to my child sing. Listen to him. I made that vocal box for him. I made them sing like that. And they're doing all they can to make that joyful noise to me. That's the way God looks at it. He wants us to sing. It gets our hearts ready for the service. It really does. If you're singing joyfully to the Lord, then it's going to get yourself right. I know that in my prayer life, I can tell you that I heard somebody preach one time and they told me that when you come before God in prayer, make sure that you realize that you're coming into the presence of an almighty God. And so when I come into the presence of an almighty God, I realize who I am. And then my prayer begins to change. I'm no longer thinking, help me, help me, help me, help me. It's more of, well, look how great you are, God. Look at who you are. Look at what you've done. You've helped me in the past so much. You've done so much for me. I know you're going to help me in this one too. It's the same with singing. If you get into the spirit of the song, you get into the spirit of the fact that you're singing praises to God, that'll change the way you sing. You say, well, it'll never make me hit the right note, Brother Story. I agree. Just because you're making a joyful noise doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to hit the right note. But God still looks at it and says, look what they're doing for me. Number three, what do we sing in the church service? So this comes up along the way as well. Some people will say, well, what are we supposed to sing in the church services? I've been to different services, and some people sing different things. Well, the Bible tells us what we are to sing. Letter A there, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, and verse number 19. Ephesians 5, 19. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So we're to be singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Also look in Colossians chapter 3. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians 3, 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So what are we supposed to be singing when we come into church? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So let her be there. Let's define psalms. Psalms are the songs, that's the next blank there. Psalms are the songs Jews and Christians sing for the Lord from the book of Psalms. That's pretty simple. So our passage here that we read out of is Psalm 100. The whole book, the 150 books in Psalm, actually tells us that those are actually songs that the Jews used to put to music, and they would sing those songs. We as Christians use them now as well. I know a lot of Sunday school songs that are used from the book of Psalms, as well as hymns in the hymn book that are from the book of Psalms. So we can use those psalms and turn them into a song with music. So the Jews did it. David wrote a lot of the psalms. He's the one that wrote, not this one, but the next one. So we can see that David wrote a lot of psalms. And they used them, the Jews used them, to sing praises to God. Christians have now used them as well. So psalms is pretty easy. You can find that in the Bible. That's things that you can sing. Letter C, hymns. Hymns are songs written that we sing here in the church. That's inside of these books that we sing here. We sing songs from a hymnal. And there's a bunch of different types of hymnals. As a matter of fact, there's three different types even here. Great hymns of the faith, majesty hymns, soul-stirring hymns. I grew up on an all-American hymnal. There's a lot of hymnals out there that you can go from and that you can sing from. So hymns are something that the Bible says to sing from. Sing from psalms, sing from hymns, and then it says spiritual songs. Now this is where people start to go all different directions in every denomination. Spiritual songs, letter D, spiritual songs are the songs that only focus on the Lord. So these songs are going to be songs that the focus is God. The whole focus. Now you say, well, what about songs that just have the word God in there once or twice? Well, if that's not the focus, that's not the songs that you would sing in church. You need to be singing songs in church that is focused on God, because once we take the focus off of God and we put it on humans or man or ourselves, then we've lost the whole point of what a spiritual song is. So for psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, those are the types of songs that should be sung in churches. We need to be prepared to sing those each time we come in. Spiritual songs can be outside of the hymnal. It can be outside of the psalms. I have a lot of different books at home that have different songs in it that aren't in hymns, and it's not in the book of Psalms. And so they would still be spiritual songs. They're songs that are focused on God. If that is the primary focus of it, then it is a spiritual song. Conclusion. Why do we do the things we do in church? The answer should be because the Bible tells us to. Because the Bible tells us to. So every time we do something in the church, it should be because the Bible tells us to do it. Not just because it's tradition, because you'll find out in the New Testament time when Jesus is coming to them, as well as the disciples coming to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the rulers of the temple, you'll find out that at each one of those, they have to tell them, no, you're stuck in your traditions. You're stuck in your traditions. You're used to just doing the same traditions over and over and over again to where you have distorted the law of God. And so he says, everything that we need to do it based on the Bible. Do we want to do something for the Lord? Are you here? You say, I just want to do something for the Lord. I don't know what it is. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be small. I just want to do something for the Lord. Well, start with singing in the church. Start with making a joyful noise in church. Whether that be you sing in the congregation, sing out with us, whether it be you sing a special, whether you learn a different type of instrument and you can play up here for us. I mean, there's a ton of opportunity when it comes to praising God. It doesn't necessarily have to be the bigger things, although it would be good for somebody to grow into maybe a Sunday school teacher or a junior church teacher or a Wednesday night teacher or somebody that fills in for the pastor when he's gone. Whatever it would be, You can get to those points, but if you want to do something for the Lord now, start singing. Make a joyful noise for the Lord. Enter into His presence with singing. So what do we sing? Well, we sing songs that glorify the Lord. That's the last blank down there. Songs that glorify the Lord. You say, Brother John, why do you use the hymn book that you use? Why do you use that? Why do we sing those songs that we sing in there? Because the whole purpose of singing is to glorify God. And the hymns we found are hymns that really help us glorifying God in everything we do. We've sung some good songs this morning, and we're going to sing some more here in just a little bit. But we need to be singing songs. You know. So what are we going to do if the persecution comes and they say we can't have singing in the church? Well, according to the Bible, we're to serve God rather than man, and the Bible says that we're to enter into His presence with singing. So what are we going to do? We're going to come into His presence singing. And I hope we can all say that even through persecution, because financial persecution on a church is tough. That one church that's at $50,000 worth of fines, that's tough on any church.
That's for each time that they meet.
I was told it was five. Is it 50 for each time they meet?
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's 5,000 each time they met, and then now they're doubling it because they're singing as well. So now it's a $10,000 fine each time that they meet if they sing, and they're up to 50,000. That's amazing to me. And so we'll find out how that works out. I know there's a lot of Christian law associations that are over there trying to help them out through this hard time. But, you know, what are we going to do when this happens as well for us? Hopefully we'll stand strong like we think we will, and we'll say, I'm going to have to do what God says rather than man. And so we'll truly see if that ever got to Great Falls, Montana, what we would truly do. Would we stick fast with our faith, or would we give up our rights just that quickly? So, any questions, comments, or concerns? It's Sunday school, so you can ask questions. It's okay. I guess I should have said that at the beginning. Everybody's like, I had questions all the way through, and now I've lost them all. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. All right, well, let's pray, and looks like I'm done 5 minutes early, so we'll have 15 minutes before we start the next service.